Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of the Raymond Burr podcast, Fort Laramie. Now, Fort Laramie, as we've talked before, has a lot of episodes that are written by Kathleen Height, and this is another Kathleen Height episode. I just want to say about her writing, as I've gotten more and more used to it, I just love how intricate she can have her writing be and how many character beats she can play within a half-hour program. It's pretty amazing, and how tight her scripts are as well. She's just quite the writer. Anyway, today's episode has a tie-in with Gunsmoke, and a lot of the episodes do with the different actors and so forth, but this has Howard McNear in it tonight, and Howard McNear plays Doc on Gunsmoke. He also, of course, later would go on to be in the Andy Griffith Show playing Floyd the Barber. Just a wonderful, wonderful character actor, and I love it when he's in anything, so it's great to hear him in the show. To tie into Gunsmoke a little bit, if you don't haven't been checking out the Gunsmokes over on our other sister podcast, the Jack Benny OTR podcast, you might want to check those out. They're every Wednesday for Western Wednesday, and we've just upgraded the sound tremendously, so you have beautiful, beautiful sounding episodes of Gunsmoke, even better sounding than these Fort Laramies, which was pretty amazing, and beautiful sounding episodes of Have Gun Will Travel as well. And Have Gun Will Travel, you may watch the TV show, but it had after the TV show, it spun off, which rarely happens, it spun off a radio show. And the radio show is just wonderfully written, and I think you'll enjoy that as well. So if you like this show, I would definitely check out those shows. I'm about ready to kind of, Rob and I are starting to do the intros together here soon. And so when that happens and summer hits, I might just bring Gunsmoke and Fort Laramie over to this podcast, or maybe have it on both. I haven't decided what I'm going to do. But anyway, so you might want to check those out. Now, without further ado, I hope you're going to enjoy Howard McNear on this episode of Fort Laramie and just the amazing writing that happens on this show. I love the way she can have Lee Quince's superior defer to him. It makes the superior to me come across as more intelligent. He's not always going against everything Lee Quince has to say, the Raymond Burr character, but he's always kind of feeling him out like, well, what would you do in this situation? And I always think that is a good style of leadership versus just saying, hey, we're going to do it my way, whether I'm right or wrong. Getting someone else's head on something is a good idea. So it's just a great, great little series here. So enjoy, and we'll see you next time.
At the gallop! Oh!
Starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
This is as far as we go, mister.
That's your line, the creek ahead?
You can water your stock there. We'll wait for that and head back.
Fair enough. Oh, now! Oh! Slow it down back there! We're stopping a spell!
This the end of the line for us, Captain?
That's what the orders say, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Tell the men to dismount and unsaddle, pin graze and water.
Take your mount, Captain.
Yeah, thanks. I want to talk to the driver.
You seen him then, up on the rim.
Yeah, they're keeping their distance.
Ain't every wagon train pushing west gets two escorts, cavalry and the engines.
Yeah, of course. I'll tell him.
Dismount and unsaddle, pin grazed
water.
Dismount and unsaddle, pin
grazed
water.
Come
on now.
Mind your stock, don't take on water too fast.
You're planning to stick to the Oregon Trail, driver?
I'd be a plain fool if I didn't, with them engines staring me down from the top of the canyon.
Oh, I don't think they'll bother you. They're not hungry. We butchered some beef on the agency for them last week.
Can't see we'd look too good to them. Kind of mangy-looking outfit, ain't we?
Oh, I've seen worse. You're all right, so long as you don't get any ideas about the old Bozeman Trail.
Well, that's closed now, ain't it?
Yeah, by treaty. That's what's bothering our friends up there on the rim.
They think we aim to cut up to Montana country?
Some of the wagons try it.
Lots of gold up there, ain't there, Captain?
Yep, and lots of Sioux and lots of Arapaho. It's all Indian country. Bozeman Trail's closed. Forts and posts are abandoned.
I tell you the truth, Captain. I kind of had my heart set and panning myself a fortune or two.
You wouldn't get to the first turn in that trail.
Nope, I wouldn't. I know I wouldn't. Well, had my heart set in my own plot of ground in Oregon, too.
Sure, you'll live longer.
You, going up there to the rim, Captain? Talk to them Injuns?
What for?
Tell them to leave us be.
That's reservation land they're on. They'll leave you be. Long as you set straight along the Oregon Trail. They haven't bothered a wagon train since the treaty.
Well, I can wait till I settle in Oregon. Then maybe drop down to the Motherlode country. If I want gold bad enough.
Yeah, if you want it bad enough.
You don't have it, do you, Captain?
Have it?
The itch. The fever that sets on a man. Makes him want to find gold more than anything.
That kind of fever can get you killed, mister.
Yes, sir. I bet it can. Well, don't you worry yourself about me, Captain. Me and this little wagon train are staying right smack on the Oregon Trail.
Good. Oh, I'd watch my stock if I were you. There's alkali in these streams through here. Won't kill them, but too much will make them sick.
I'll keep an eye on them.
Well, good luck to you, mister. Well,
thanks kindly, Captain. We're sure much obliged you rode this far with us.
It's all right. We'll watch you out of sight.
I'd like that.
Yeah, that's if you get a move on. You're wasting daylight at this rate. Valuable stuff out here, mister.
Kind of like gold, Captain?
Yeah, kind of like gold.
Indians made no move to follow the train?
No, they left the rim of the canyon a little before we did.
You can't be sure they didn't ride on ahead to intercept the train when it was out of your sight.
They weren't headed that way, but I can't be sure.
I keep feeling like we're sitting on a powder keg, Lee. Slightest little jar will blow up to a full-scale war. It's got me edgy.
You got company.
You?
Yep, Red Cloud. Why do you think those Indians were lining the rim of that canyon?
I guess they can't believe it either. It's not much of a peace, Captain, if we spend all our time watching them, just to find out they're watching back.
Well, Major, beats killing each other.
You like Red Cloud, don't you, Lee?
Yeah, I like him.
Do you trust him?
He signed the treaty. Hasn't broken it yet.
Then you do trust him.
I don't think he'll be the one to break the treaty, if that's what you mean.
You think we will, is that it?
No, not we. But I saw something in that wagon train driver that breaks treaties. He called it a itch, a fever. Fever for gold.
You told me you warned him about going up the old Bozeman Trail.
Yeah, I warned him. I don't think he'll try it. But if he doesn't, someone with a fever will. If not the Bozeman, then they'll break new trails up into the Bighorn Range, over into Black Hills.
That's all Indian territory.
We've both read the treaty, Major.
And Red Cloud signed it. So did we. Now, what do we have to do? Read it to every wagon train that stops at Fort Laramie?
You ask me if I trusted Red Cloud. I trust him till the next white man goes into Indian country looking for gold.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
He got what he wanted. Powder River country, Black Hills for hunting grounds.
That covers everything to the north and east of us.
And we better stay out of it.
Tell that to the men with the gold fever.
I do when I see him.
Lee, if you were sitting in my chair, what would you do if you had to translate this problem to Washington?
I'd desert.
No, you wouldn't. You'd have a plan. What would it be?
About white men going into Indian country?
We can't protect them.
We'll have to try to keep them from going in.
That's what I want to know. Can we stop them?
We can try. Maybe with official orders we can keep them from going in numbers. If we catch them, lock them up as treaty violators.
And if they persist?
For provoking an act of war, I'd shoot them.
I said you'd have a plan.
All right. I'd start by redoubling our patrols all along the North Platte.
We don't have the manpower.
Let the infantry secure the garrison. I'll take a patrol out right now.
Oh, you just got back. You're tired.
Oh, I'm not tired.
All right, the men are tired.
I got another plan.
What's that?
I need a drink.
Why don't you go on over, Captain? Maybe I'll join you later.
Yes, sir, Major.
Why, Lee, I didn't know you were back.
Got back last night, Willa. You the barmaid here now?
Dad's waiting on some trade in the store. Here, help yourself.
Did I say I wanted a drink?
If you'd come to see me, you'd have come last night.
It was late last night.
That sounded a lot like an explanation, Lee.
I guess I thought you wanted one.
When you see me, it's because you want to see me. That's a good thing to know.
Yeah, maybe it is.
Are you finished with this?
What's the matter? You running out of whiskey?
Almost.
Well, not Pliny. He doesn't run out. Not when he can still get his price.
Oh, it isn't Dad. It's those men with him.
What about them?
What they're not drinking here, they're taking with them.
Huh? Where are they going?
I don't know. But wherever it is, they must expect to stay a long time. Isn't 10 gallons of whiskey an awful lot, Lee?
A couple of drinks of this whiskey is an awful lot.
Say, Willa, you recollect that last shipment of boots we got in? I thought we put them in stock, but I cannot lay my hands on them.
Aren't you going to speak to Lee, Dad?
He can't see me, Willa, for the dollar signs in his eyes.
Oh, well, good afternoon to you, Captain. His glass is empty, Willa.
You offering me a drink on the house, Pliny?
On the house? Well, I just naturally supposed you were buying your drinks, Captain.
Dad.
Of course, credit is available for an old friend like you, Captain. I trust you.
That's your idea of a compliment, Pliny?
Oh, boots. That was it, wasn't it? Of course, boots. I came back here to ask about the boots.
I don't know how you could miss them. They're right next to the cash box.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, of course, they must be there then. So you go right ahead, Captain. Just buy yourself another drink.
I don't know what to do about him, except love him, in spite of himself.
Well, you'll never be poor, will you?
And dowries are still in style, Lee.
Yeah. Maybe I ask for that.
Are you going to have that other drink?
No, thanks.
This one is on the house.
Oh, you don't want to break his heart, do you, Willa? No, Will, I've had enough. I'll see you, huh?
Yeah, sure, Lee. Yeah, sure.
Hey, you, soldier. Hey, you.
You talking to me, mister?
I called you soldier, didn't I?
This a friend of yours, Pliny?
Well, he is spending quite a lot of money, Captain.
Yeah, and I aim to spend a lot more. Maybe with you, soldier boy.
I got nothing to sell, mister.
Well, you could might give him some information, couldn't you, Captain? He's such a good customer.
You want to quit bobbing around in front of me?
No offense, no. Not the slightest bit of offense, excuse me.
That's better. You want a drink, soldier?
I'm in a hurry, mister.
You must know this country pretty good. I'm looking for horses. Good ones.
You're new here.
News today.
Most of the settlers around here have horses.
I said good horses. I seen the crowbait they pass off for horses over in Laramie Village. I mean good ones. Strong. Take a lot of riding. That's what I want.
Mm-hmm. How many?
Oh, four, say.
Well, the Souter Ranch is about your best bet. It's a good day's ride from here.
Which way?
West. Due west. You can see the ranch house from the Oregon Trail.
I ain't heading west.
Then south, near Cheyenne.
I ain't heading south.
I can't help you, mister.
You're not trying too hard, are you, soldier?
Hard enough. Pliny, you'd better get your cash customer out of my way.
Now, please, gentlemen, no roughhousing. This is a respectful place of business, you know.
I told you, quit bobbing in here ever so often.
I only meant to help.
You got any more shoving around you want to do, mister?
Yeah, kind of forgot my manners. Reckon you'd speak your piece better you got paid for it.
What are you trying to buy? A crack skull?
All right, all right. I picked the wrong soldier. What's he so sore about?
Well, he just misunderstood you now. Here, I'll help you pick up your money.
All right, if I set next to you, soldier.
Help yourself.
You get used to the food in time, do you?
You're eating free, ain't you?
It's free enough. You look like a smart man, soldier.
I ain't.
I hear better.
You been talking to somebody dumber than me, then?
Pliny, the sutler.
He put you next to the free meal here in the barracks? That'd be Pliny. Him and me, we're dumb in different ways.
He says you know all there is to know about horses.
I've ridden them, eaten a few. That's all he has to know about them.
Where are the best horses around here, soldier?
Up in the cavalry stables.
I'd like to lay my hands on four good ones.
Well, now, you could try, but you might get yourself shot in trying.
I'm talking about buying horses, not stealing them.
I don't think the cavalry's got any horses for sale, mister.
Are you trying to understand me, soldier?
I'm trying harder to eat.
How much money you make a month wearing those three stripes of yours?
Now that just plain took my appetite.
A regular soldier makes 50 cents a day. I figure those stripes give you a bit more.
You want to raise my pay? Is that it?
I want four good horses. You get them for me. I'll see you get better in a raise.
You just passing through, are you, mister?
That's all. Don't worry about the money. I got it.
What are you figuring on using horses for?
Riding?
Four horses for riding.
There's two of us. It's hard riding. You won't get the money. Just asking questions, soldier.
I guess I'd have to see that money.
We're gonna do business, are we?
You got a right price, we'll do business.
This place, you'd get the horses. It'd be near the fort?
Near enough.
Ranch?
If I told you about it, you wouldn't need me. I wouldn't collect that money you're talking about.
You're not dumb, soldier. You're not dumb a bit. Look here. Well, you seen the money.
Well, now, that ain't all money, mister.
How do you mean?
Some of them pouches, they just don't bulge right for silver.
You see real good, don't you?
Anybody tell you there's an assay office over in Laramie Village?
They might have, if I'd asked.
You want some advice, mister?
I want some horses.
You better not be finding gold in Injun country. There's a treaty now that says you can't go in there.
Is that a fact?
Listen, of course, you got permission from the Injuns.
Soldier, I got 10 gallons of whiskey. That's a lot of permission, providing I wanted it. Now then, I took your advice. You gonna take my money?
I'd a lot sooner take you, mister.
You going along with me, or ain't you?
I'm going with you, all the way.
Hey, what's the idea?
You just got yourself a military escort, mister, clean through the main gate of Fort Laramie.
Well, Gorse, how'd you keep from roughing him up?
Same way you did, I guess. Pliny and Miss Willis said you went plumb white keeping from hurting him.
Yep. One of us should have busted him. He might have stuck around to prefer charges.
Not this one. He didn't want any trouble, just horses. If I had my way, I'd have stuffed him in the stockade last night instead of throwing him off the post.
Major says you can't hold a man for what you think he's going to do.
You told him about it then.
Mm-hmm. Last night, after you told me.
That was gold in them pouches, sure as anything. I didn't have to look inside.
Yeah, sure it was gold. And it was picks and shovels and pans he bought at the sutler's. I got that much out of Pliny last night.
You know, forgetting the whiskey.
And I'm not forgetting.
Like as not, he's got the horses by now, too.
We can't stop him from getting horses, Sergeant. We just don't have to help him. You were smart to hear him out. I should have been a little smarter.
He'd stand to talk freer to me, seeing I'd have more need of money. I had to throw him out before he worked his way any further down the wage scale.
Yeah, I knew a trooper once, deserted, sold his mount, saddle, everything up to his kerchief for $100.
It's the best part of a year's pay. You think the major will stand still for us taking off after him?
Mr. Syberts brings his patrol in tomorrow night. We're not going anywhere till he's back.
That sounds like an order.
Hey, Major Daggett's. Can't prove anything going after him, Gorse.
Cavalry patrol, maybe it'd scare him off a little.
Oh, man, that stupid doesn't scare. He'd rather be scalped than be poor.
If he goes in, we can all get scalped, trying to save his lousy hide. Sure like a better excuse to fight a war.
We all would, Sergeant.
Right about there, sir. They were following Rawhide Creek, moving north.
How many men, Mr. Savage?
Two men. Four horses, four mules. I couldn't tell enough through the glasses to describe what they looked like.
I know what one of them looked like.
We can't be sure of that, Captain. Mr. Syberts, you say you fired a signal at them. Can you be sure they heard it?
They heard it, sir. I never took the glasses off them. And when we fired, they stopped and looked at us. The whole patrol made signs for them to come back.
You think they saw you? Understood your signs?
I know they saw us. One of them had field glasses, too. Kept them trained right on us as they started moving north again.
Huh. Is that all, Lieutenant? That completes your report?
That's all, sir. Except, well, I wish I could have stopped them from going in, sir.
Well, you did all you could, Mr. Sabots.
Thank you, Captain.
Every bit you could, Lieutenant. Now go on and get some rest. That's an order.
Yes, sir. Major, sir? Captain, sir?
All right, Captain. What would you have done in his place?
Exactly as he did.
Glad to hear that. But now you want to go after the prospectors.
I want permission to go to Red Cloud.
To keep him from being killed?
To keep a war from starting. The man I saw knows his chances. Everybody warned him. I got no feeling for him.
I want to think about it, Captain.
While you're thinking, a runner could be on his way to Red Cloud.
I'm aware of that.
And while you're thinking, Red Cloud could be on his way here, in paint and war bonnets.
If he is, a runner wouldn't stop him.
He might. I'd say that's a chance we got to take. The only chance we have got.
If the runner gets through and Red Cloud agrees to powwow with you, what then?
I'll ask him to let us find the prospectors and deal with them our way.
And if he's found them first?
I'll take their bodies off his hands.
How many men do you want, Captain?
Sergeant Gorse.
Just one man?
I want to stop a war, Major, and not start one. Red Cloud's not likely to consent to a full company.
The runner will leave the post in an hour. When can you and Sergeant Gorse leave?
Tell your runner we'll try hard not to get ahead of him.
That's Black Hills country ahead, ain't it, Captain?
Yeah, if you can see it, over the war bonnets.
Red Cloud's not taking any chances.
Would you, Gorse?
No, sir, I wouldn't. I just keep hoping they're getting an eyeful of this white flag I'm toting.
There in the hills, they got the best view.
We just keep riding in?
Yeah, as far as the stream. We'll drop our gun belts when we get there. And wait for Red Cloud.
Yes, sir. I guess if I'm going to die in the cavalry, I'd just as soon do it with you as anybody, Captain.
You could be back at Fort Laramie, getting rich, selling horses to prospectors.
The air is cleaner out here, as long as it lasts.
Gun belt, Gorse?
Oh. How could I forget a little matter like that, you suppose?
Yeah. Red Cloud, all right.
Two braves with him. Another couple hundred in the hills.
It'd be a thousand as long as they stay up there. You honor our flag, Red Cloud. We thank you.
Where is honor in white man for treaty boundaries?
It comes slow to some white men. I came to ask your patience, Red Cloud.
Patience stretches. In time, like an old hide, it breaks and is no more.
Since we smoked the pipe, we've handed over your renegades to let your people deal with them.
Bring white men here. You will deal with them. How?
They're alive?
I did not come here to deliver dead men.
Then
They'll be put in the stockade and kept there.
You have been our friend. Tell your people Red Cloud will not powwow again. Next time, warriors not stay in hills. Next time, white men, dead white men.
I'll tell them, Red Cloud. I hope they listen.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Kathleen Height, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper, musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Jack Moyles and Harry Bartell, with Frank Gersel, Clayton Post, Howard McNear, Virginia Gregg, and Ralph Moody.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. Time was, a man who wanted to get away from it all could hide in the cellar, take a walk in the woods, or go live in a cave. Today's best way is not to hide, walk off, or hunt for a cave, but to join the ground observers. With their eyes on the skies, they're keeping America's defenses manned to serve the cause of peace. See your local civilian defense people. Join the ground observers. 2 hours a week will earn your silver wings. Help America be strong as a deterrent to any possible intrusion. Gunsmoke, brought to you by Chesterfield. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed, thanks to Accuray. They satisfy the most. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely. Come on into the office if you got time, Kitty.
I better not, Matt. It's late. But thanks for the supper.
It's my pleasure. Yeah, looks like you're going to have a busy night tonight, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Front Street's filling up fast.
Yeah, it'll be busy, all right. 2 trail herds came in today from Texas.
That's money, Kitty. Yeah. Those boys will leave everything they got here.
They sure go through a lot of misery for the sake of a few nights howl and dodge, don't they? Well, I'd better go start making it worth their while. Say, isn't that Doc's buggy?
Huh? Yeah, it is. What's that on the seat with him?
Looks like a body wrapped in a blanket.
Yeah, it sure does. And maybe you don't want to see this, Kitty.
I'll stay here.
Oh, hello, Matt.
Who's that, Doc?
Well, he must have been a buffalo hunter. I found him on the south bank of the Pawnee near Turkey Bend. He had a camp there, or he did, until somebody came along and shot him.
You mean he was alone?
There was another camp a few miles downriver, but this man was alone.
How did you stop by the other camp?
I figured that'd be your job, man. Bringing him in was bad enough.
What do you mean?
Whoever shot him took his head for a souvenir.
What?
Not a very nice killing, is it, man?
I'll ride up there tomorrow, Doc.
It don't look like nobody much is around, Mr. Jones.
Yeah, there's a man coming out of the wagon now.
Well, now, there is the one longest, skinniest buffalo hunter I ever seen. He looks like a plucked crow.
Well, he isn't very handsome, is he? Mm-hmm.
Well, others must be out hunting, huh?
Hello. Where's the rest of your outfit?
There ain't but 3 of us. That's counting the woman.
Oh, you got a woman out here?
Abby. She belongs to Ben Seipel.
Now, what's your name?
I'm Earl Tix, but I ain't sure I care to do any more talking.
You'll talk, and you can start by telling me if you know anything about the hunter who was camped a couple of miles upriver from here.
I don't know nothing about nobody, mister.
That man was killed, Tix. He was shot, and somebody ran off with his head.
Oh, he done that, huh?
My name's Dillon, Tix. I'm a U.S. Marshal.
Don't turn around, mister.
In the wagon behind you, Mr. Dillon. He's holding a Sharps 50.
It'll shoot, too. It'll make an awful big hole in a man. You just stand steady. Get the gun, Sticks.
Sure.
It's better. You can turn around now.
Ben Seipel, huh?
I'm an alligator, mister. I can treat people terrible.
Like cutting their heads off?
Ain't nobody gonna come into my camp and start saying murder. Not to Ben Seipel, they ain't.
If you didn't do it, you got no cause to worry, Seipel.
I got no cause to worry. You standing there with a big 50 aimed at your belly. He ain't no marshal anyway.
Now, you look here. You two stop acting so crazy. Didn't you never hear of Marshal Dillon?
There's no sign on him. Where's his badge?
I don't happen to be wearing a badge, Tix.
Go carve some thong out of one of them hides, Tix, and put it to soak. We'll tie these two up for the night.
Tie them up?
Do what I tell you, Tix.
Sure. Hello, Abby.
What's going on, Ben?
You get the wash done?
Yeah. I strung it in the brush to dry.
Then get to cooking supper. I'm hungry.
We feeding them, too?
No, we ain't feeding them.
Then what are they doing here?
They come talking to murder. I feel like shooting them for it.
No, Ben.
I kill them, I make you watch, Abby.
Ben, someday somebody's going to kill you. They got to.
You cook a good supper, Abby. I'm real hungry.
Introducing one of the country's best-known jazz musicians and arrangers, Mr. Bobby Haggart. How about whistling along with him?
Packs more pleasure, packs more pleasure. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
It stands to reason a cigarette made better and packed better smokes better, tastes better. And Chesterfield is more perfectly packed by Accuray. This electronic miracle removes human error in cigarette manufacture. So Accuray Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips, mild yet deeply satisfying. Yes, Chesterfield gives you something no other cigarette can give you.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
To the touch, to the taste, Chesterfield packs more pleasure. Because it's more perfectly packed by Chesterfield. Mild. Yet they satisfy the most.
For hours. I just can't hardly move, Mr. Dillon.
That Texas is pretty handy at tying people up.
Yeah, but it ain't him bothering me as much as Ben Seipel. That man is crazy.
I'd known how crazy I'd have taken my chances when he first started talking. Yeah, we're in a bad spot here, Chester.
Maybe Abby can do something. She sure hates him.
Yeah, I know. You know, she's been looking over this way. Hey, wait a minute. She's leaving the fire now.
I hope you don't see her. Look, she's coming here, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah.
You must be right hungry.
It's not food we need, Abby.
I know. But if I cut you loose, he'd kill me.
We wouldn't go off and leave you to face him.
You wouldn't.
Abby, all men aren't like Ben Seipel and Earl Tix. You can trust me and Chester here.
You're really a marshal?
I am.
I'll do it, Marshal. When he's asleep, I'll do it.
I knew she would. I told you.
Abby!
He's seen me.
Hey there, Abby. What you been talking about, Abby? You been making plans, maybe?
I was on my way to the river. I wasn't talking.
You wasn't, huh? Well, I think I'll go to the river with you.
No.
Walk ahead of me, Abby.
What kind of a man are you, Seipel? You take it out on me if you have to, but not her.
I'll take it out on both of you.
You dirty dog, Seipel.
Oh, shut up. Get going, Abby.
Mr. Dillon, you hurt? Mr. Dillon?
No, I'll be all right, Chester. That man's got a big foot.
Kick a man in the face that way? He ought to be hung.
I'll hang him myself if we ever get out of this.
It don't look too good for us, does it?
No, not now.
That poor Abby, what does she stay with a man like him for?
Well, maybe she's never had a chance to get away.
It'd be a miserable enough life without being tied to a murderer.
Be quiet, Chester. Here comes Earl Tix.
Where's he been all this time?
I don't know, but he's moving pretty fast.
And what's the rifle for?
Where's Seipel? Tell me where he went.
What's the trouble, Tix?
Where is he?
He went down to the river.
What for? Seipel! Oh, hey, Seipel!
I'm coming.
You better hurry. We got to get out of here.
What?
What are you
yelling about, Tix?
We gotta get going, Saipo. Right now.
Get going? What for?
Engines. I heard them out there yapping at each other like coyotes.
You sure?
I know engines when I hear them.
We can't get out of here with that wagon, Tix.
They ain't fighting no engines over a wagon. Where's the woman?
Never mind her. Let's get our horses and ride.
Ooh, what about these two?
Leave them for the engines.
And their horses, too?
I ain't no horse thief. Come on.
Day is breaking, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah.
I guess them engines will be coming soon. Funny how a man gets to thinking things, ain't it?
Oh, like what, Chester?
Well, like how I'd like to see one of them circuses before I die.
Huh? A circus?
Oh, I spend an awful lot of time thinking about that. Wondering what lions and tigers and stuff like that looks like.
Shh. Quiet. Yeah, I guess Tix was right.
I just hope they see we're tied up and helpless before they start planting arrows in us.
Look over there. Just beyond the wagon.
He's got a rifle. He's signaling with it.
And there are four more, too. Five.
Look, he's signaling them others to stay back. Fierce looking, ain't he?
Steady now. No more talking.
No understand. You hunt buffalo?
Mr. Dillon.
Shh. Buffalo hunter gone. Leave us like this.
Leave you for pony to kill? Why?
We big enemies.
You know hunt buffalo?
No.
We kill buffalo hunter. Pony. Teach white man. Leave buffalo to pony. Cut off whole head.
Why, they killed that man.
Wait a minute, Chester. Listen. Buffalo hunter want you kill us. Buffalo hunter gone. You know catch now. You let us go. We find buffalo hunter. Big enemy. We take care of buffalo hunter for you.
Where's he going?
He's going to have a talk with the others, I guess.
That was awful smart of you, Mr. Dillon.
Maybe, if it works.
It makes sense.
It does to us, Chester. I just hope it will to them.
Looks like they've decided.
And at least it didn't take them long.
Oh, here he comes. He's got his knife out. He's doing it. He's cutting us loose.
Yeah.
It worked. It worked. Well, he cut us loose and never said a word.
What difference does it make, Chester? We're free. There they go.
Oh, my, it feels good to stand up, don't it?
Yeah, it sure does, Chester.
Look, they ain't even taking our horses.
Well, I guess they figure we can't chase buffalo hunters on foot.
Marshall. What's that?
Marshall.
Well, that's Abby.
Yonder she is laying in them weeds.
Marshall.
Oh, she looks terrible.
Well, at least he didn't kill her. You hurt bad, Abby.
He hit me something awful.
Chester, go hitch our horses to that wagon.
Yes, sir.
Marshal.
No, it's all right, Abby. We're going to take you to Dodge. And nobody's ever going to hit you again. I promise you that.
listening to Gunsmoke. In your kitchen, getting ready for Sunday supper, maybe in your living room, relaxing, or out driving. Say, be sure and watch the road. But remember, there's pleasure ahead when you smoke Chesterfield. When you satisfy yourself with Chesterfield's better taste and mildness. It stands to reason. A cigarette made better and packed better smokes better, tastes better. And Chesterfield is more perfectly packed by Accuray. This electronic miracle removes human error in cigarette manufacture. So Accuray Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips, mild, yet deeply satisfying. Yes, Chesterfield gives you something no other cigarette can give you.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
To the touch, to the taste, Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. By Chesterfield, mild, yet they satisfy the most.
Ah, hello, Matt.
Come in, Doc.
Hot today,
isn't it? Is that what you came to tell me?
No, I came to tell you nothing. Oh, except I ran into Kitty down at the depot. She and Abby were watching the Santa Fe come in.
Oh? Uh-huh.
They said they might come by and say hello on their way back.
Ah, good.
Oh, my, that Abby's looking better every day, isn't she?
Well, between you and Kitty, she's been getting some pretty good care.
Yeah, she deserves it.
You know, she's already talking about finding a job.
I know, Matt. I think she's going to be real happy. Oh, that's Kitty.
Matt, hurry.
Kitty, what's the matter?
It's that man, that Ben Siple.
Siples and Dutch?
Yeah. He came up to Abby and grabbed her by the arm and dragged her off toward his wagon.
Huh?
Chester saw it, too. He thought he'd better stay nearby while I went for you.
Where are they now?
Across the street there, by that wagon.
Yeah. You wait here, Kitty.
Don't let him hurt her anymore, Matt.
He's just been talking to her so far, Mr. Dillon.
Has he seen you, Chester?
No, sir, neither is Earl Tix.
Yeah. And they're in for a big surprise. You keep an eye on Tix, huh?
Yes, sir, I will.
What are you telling me lies for, Abby? You want another beating?
That's enough, Sybil.
So she wasn't lying. You really are a marshal, huh?
Abby?
Yes?
You can go with Sybil if you want. But if you don't want to, you'll have to kill me first, and I don't think he can do it.
What are you saying? This ain't no business of the law.
Shut up. You make your choice, Abby.
Kitty's waiting for me.
Come back here, Abby. You keep your hands off me.
Siple, you broke a promise I made to her.
What?
I told her nobody had ever hit her again.
You interfering with my right to beat her when I want?
Yeah.
You're talking awful big, Marshal.
Has everybody always been afraid of you, Siple?
They have. And for good reason.
And you're about to lose that reputation, Siple. For good.
Tex! Come here!
No.
Get moving like you tell me.
No. You can't beat me, Marshal. It wasn't me done nothing.
Just will help you throw Siple under the wagon. Then you drive him out of Dodge, and you keep on driving, Tix.
Oh, I will.
I don't mean for a few days. I mean for weeks. You're through on the prairie, Tix. You and Siple both. So say goodbye to this land. If I see you on it again, you'll rot.
In a moment, our star, William Conrad.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
A cigarette made better and packed better smokes better, tastes better. And Chesterfield is more perfectly packed by Accuray. This electronic miracle removes human error in cigarette manufacture. So Accuray Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips. Chesterfield, mild, yet they satisfy the most.
You know, during the frontier cattle sheep wars, men used the expression rimrock, meaning to run down or kill. Well, next week, a man tries to rimrock somebody and dies for his trouble. And that was the West. Good night.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Vic Perrin, John Daner, Helen Klebe, and Lawrence Dobkin. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty.
Live modern. Smoke L&M.
Live modern. Change to L&M.
Yes, have an L&M. No other cigarette you can buy, plain or filter, gives you the full, exciting flavor you get through the pure white L&M Miracle Tip. Through the modern Miracle Tip, L&M tastes richer, smokes cleaner, draws easier. So light up, free up, let your taste come alive. Live modern. Smoke L&M.
Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke.